Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We're not just live. We are live from the Niagara Falls Country Club for the Sabres Alumni Tournament. Happy Monday. Woo, it's getting close to fall. And yet, today is the start of probably a really, really hot summer week. But it's hard. I'm already in fall mode because we're real close to the start of football. And this may or may not be our final Monday show of the year.
It is the final Monday show of the year until many, many months
hopefully
from now.
Hopefully late February.
Exactly.
Like late February.
Mondays are Buffalo football Mondays. So we're going to take Mondays off now, go Tuesday to Friday starting next week. But we wanted to kind of leave Mondays behind us with a bang. So we are here at the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament. And I got to tell you, did not expect what happened this morning to happen to me. So Mr. the great Scotty Bowman, who we hung out last night with some of the alumni and hung out again this morning. He showed up. Everybody wants to talk to Scotty. We're having a good time. And Scotty walks up to me and JP Dumont, and he goes, Marty, you know, yesterday when we were at that restaurant, somebody asked me, hey, how was it like coaching against Marty when he was playing? And he goes, I don't know. I never seen him in that. He never played against us. And I'm like, this is probably the world's greatest burn coming from Scotty Bowman, which he's not wrong, because early in my career when he was in Detroit, I never played against him. And then, you know, after that, well, he retired and that was it.
So, now, you're self-deprecating enough that you would have shared the story, but you had no choice now to get in front of it, because the fact that JP, of all people, witnessed it. Everybody was going to learn of this moment. So.
Mr. Bowman always has great things to talk about, and his memory of the players, right? He'll talk to JP. I remember seeing you in juniors, and I remember when you broke in Chicago and then Buffalo and Nashville. He knows everything. He goes, Marty, I don't know, never saw him play. So I know it's a lie, but it's just funny coming from him. And it's great to see him. Obviously, he looks fantastic. Which is great to see him and many others. We have over 60 Sabres alumni here on hand. Not all of them are golfing, but most of them are. So many alumni here present that most of the groups have two alumni per group.
Yeah.
I'm with Darren Pupa in my group. I'm filling in for you, Mr. Duff, because that's your group from last year.
Yes, so, it was so fun. Now, I don't recall which hole it is, whether it's like 17 or 8. It runs along the road. It's a short par 3.
Yes.
Tell Poops to keep it out of the tennis court.
Oh. Well, Poops started really well this morning. We played a hole. We were already minus 1, a birdie on a par 5. It was great. We went driver off the deck in on our second shot.
And, nice.
It was fantastic. So we got a good start. Always love. Poop has got long pants and long sleeves on. He lives in Tampa all year.
Why, and he's like, why are you judging?
I know you have as well, but you're always cold. But him, he's like, I'm hot all summer. And then he comes in, it's beautiful. And he's got long pants, long sleeve. But so many alumni, right? I mean, great guys to see that we don't see often. Mm-hmm. You know who was coming over to me last night and again today is King Kong Korab.
Oh,
and
wow.
He goes, hey, he goes, remember the interview we did years ago? He goes, that worked out real well. He's like, whenever you need me, I'm ready to go. And then he kept asking me, where's the camera? He's looking for the camera. So.
He's never not looked for. It's amazing.
He looks great,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God. Well, there's honestly, I think last year at this time, we were boasting, for lack of a better word, about more than 50 alumni. And if it wasn't at this event, it was one of the other ones on the calendar. And so the fact that you're being, you know, in that 60 range, it's really impressive. And then even beyond that, I've heard of how many others are staying connected with Scotty McManigal and the Alumni Association, and the opportunity for well beyond that number to still have a presence at some of our games, involved in the community and other aspects. And you, of course, like Razor, incredibly proud of what this day stands for as far as shaping potentially the lives of a lot of young kids here in Western New York and Southern Ontario.
Absolutely. This golf tournament, all the proceeds for the golf tournament go towards our scholarship program, which started in 1993. And so we're talking about over 30 years of scholarships being handed out. And we are now, this year, with the, I believe we handed out 10 scholarships this year. Mm-hmm. We're now over $1 million of scholarship awarded in the last 30 years. So that's why we love seeing all the people that are here, sponsors and season ticket holders. But more importantly is that we have given up so many different scholarships, and we hear back from some of those guys and families that are like, oh, we got some money from the Buffalo Sabres alumni, and so that's why it's fantastic to see all these players coming back, guys that, you know, some of them are local, and mm-hmm. they're more present at the arena when it comes to, you know, alumni mm-hmm. signings and everything. But some of them aren't. Some of them are coming up from everywhere around yeah. the United States and Canada, and it's great to see them as well. So
it's really nice to see Ted Nolan this morning.
He looked good.
He looks good. You know, Kevin McGuire. Yeah. It was really fun. He just...
former coach-referee relationship
there's
right there.
Just, he's one of those guys that just doesn't have to say much to somebody, anybody, and there's just something that makes everyone kind of laugh, yes. and you can just see the playfulness yeah. that he has in the eyes, and it's like, oh gosh, where is this going to go?
And what's great is because we do it like on a Monday, late August, mm-hmm. usually the Sunday night, we try to get together as an alumni group because some of them are going to leave after the golf today, and we want to just be able to catch up. But a lot of the guys have come in a couple of days earlier because they still have friends and people that they know, and they come in for a weekend of golf or visiting friends. Like J.P. Dumont came in on Saturday. Donald Odette came in on Saturday. He went golfing with Dijkstra and the great Bill Wippert, you know, at Brookfield yesterday, I think it was. So they make a weekend out of it, and they come and visit everybody that's here.
Yuri Himalev, really great to see him. Yuri, and of course, the legendary locals seemingly forever, and we're so grateful, Terry Martin and Don Luce. So we got a on social, Jeff says, make sure Terry doesn't use too many mulligans. I hope he gets to golf with his idol, Don Luce.
Oh, well, we'll make sure Terry knows. But Terry always comes up to me, and he's like, this and that, this or that. He always listens to the
and their wives, and how monumental, you know, the level of involvement they have had at this event and continue to have. And, of course, in the alumni meeting that preceded all of this, you know, just the impact of the alumni wives and girlfriends and significant others, you know, in running, obviously, the wine festival and events of that nature. And so, anyway.
The amount of goalies that are here, too.
Oh,
you got to say. So, I mean, obviously, I'm here, right? Craig Anderson is here.
Yes.
Came up from Florida. He's a young guy, so we got to get some young blood in there. We do have, I'm going through the list right now. I don't want to make sure. Tom Draper is here. There's a goalie. Don Edwards is here. Another goalie. I mentioned Darren Puppa is here. Who else is here goaltender-wise? I'm going through the list, but there was I'm going to leave the list aside. But there's a lot of goalies that are here, which is great because the more the merrier when it comes to goaltender.
Perfect segue, because last week, and you weren't always on with me, but we did have a little bit of discussion.
Off.
Yeah. I felt at times as if I might have been putting too much weight on this particular topic. Now, granted, it was mid-August. And there aren't a lot of great rumors and rumblings and speculation.
Yes.
But let me tell you how validated I feel today and how I felt as soon as the news broke, after we were off air on Friday.
Yaroslav
Askarov and his deal to San Jose.
Yes.
I'm sure people were watching and listening to this show going, who cares about Askarov? And I'm like, well, first of all, there's 32 teams, 64 goalies. The kid's a first-rounder. So let's start from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. Post-COVID, 2020 draft, there have been five drafts, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. How many goalies that have been drafted since COVID are in or have played in the NHL?
Wow. Well, Levi is one.
One.
So Askarov is another.
He's played three games.
Oh, and 2020. So, man, we're looking back. I would think maybe there's one or two more.
Nico Daws has played the most. He's played 46.
New Jersey.
Levi Marilainen, two games played with Ottawa.
That's it.
That's four of them. And from the class of 21, three games played, Jesper Wallstedt.
Okay, yes.
Nothing in 22, nothing from 23. This is obvious. But we're also not seeing first rounders. Like, this is a reminder. It's a great reminder of the slow build that it is for goaltenders.
Probably even was slower because of COVID and all the slowed down development that happened there.
I don't have all the historical draft numbers in front of me or in my head. I tend not to retain as much draft history as some other forms of history, but I think it's even Askarov was a rarity, drafted as high as he was, but I think because teams typically have an urgency now that if they can, they'll look at a first-round player to get them into the lineup sooner. So in the class of 21, you had Sebastian Kosa and Jesper Wallstedt were first-rounders. In 2022, the first goalie taken was Buffalo's Topias Laininen.
In the second
round. At 41st.
Yes.
The next year, Adam Gajan, Slovakian netminder, first goalie taken, 35th by Chicago. You know what his connection is? He was Michael Leone's goalie in Green Bay in the USHL, and he played at the World Juniors, and he's going to be going to the standout program of University of Minnesota Duluth, right? But obviously is a ton of years away, presumably.
He's so many years
away. And then last year in 2024, this past draft, again, no first-round goaltenders, Ilya Nabokov, Colorado, 38th overall. So this is why there's such an emphasis placed on Askarov, his predicament that he sort of created in Nashville. I'm not going to report to Milwaukee, whatever, which we debated, right thing to do, wrong thing to do. Clearly, it was the right thing to do in the sense of if he wanted a change of scenery, because he got it.
Yeah.
Barry Trotz granted it. It seemed like a very logical trade. We talked about the possibilities.
San Jose was a logical place for him to go.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense.
The problem
is
there were like seven, and they all could have been really entertaining, and maybe, maybe Buffalo should be happy that he is in the West, because I really thought Montreal was going to make a play. Now, I don't know what his future is. We'll get into that later, but isn't it fascinating just how rare he is in the world of first-rounder goalies? And how big he became, how much interest there was on the market, and then we still have teams of the day to get through late in August here and in September. We're eventually going to get to San Jose, and I think they're a far more interesting team now than what we've seen in recent years.
They obviously are with Celebrini being the first overall, and then they have the draft from last year, and this is why I made San Jose was a really logical place for Askarov, and I didn't know if they were going to pull the trigger because, you know, it's still an unknown. Like, this is not the goalie that is all of a sudden going to stand on his head year one, year two. Like, he's still a few years away from being that number one guy. But when I got drafted to the Sabres in the first round offer, the reason the Sabres made the draft, the draft pick of me, is because they had an extra first rounder. They picked Jay McKee, and then they're like, oh, we can pick a goalie now. San Jose is in that same position.
Right.
We have so much draft capital that we've had acquired in the last few years that now we can trade a draft pick next year to go get a goalie, somebody that maybe will pan out. Look, first-rounder goaltenders usually do, but Askarov's still a question mark. Look, Vasilevsky was a first-rounder. Carey Price was a first-rounder. There's very few first-rounders when it comes to goalies now, but you know, some of them, when they do, they end up being really good.
Right, and Calgary was on the list, my list. Chicago was on my list. Montreal was on my list. San Jose was on my list because they all had multiple first-round picks to offer.
Yes.
And it's so, therefore, another reason it was no surprise San Jose makes the deal. It seemed like it was an interesting one with, you know, a first-rounder going back, a couple of prospects move as well. I was a little surprised, but then I was thinking that in any deal, if Nashville was going to take a prospect back, that it would be a blue liner, because I think they need a little bit more depth on the blue line moving forward. However, when I looked at the young Swedish forward Ertström that they got, I'm like, oh, it's actually this kind of fits their profile too. And yeah, it's a very interesting deal.
It turned out really good for Nashville as well, because look, they got UC Saros for the length of the deal. He's still in the prime. You know, if you're, I remember, again, I go back to my experience when I was going through my draft in 95, Lou Lamoriello and the New Jersey Devils went up to my agent. They said, we want to interview Marty. And my agent represented Marty Brodeur at the same time. And he's like, I don't think that me fits the New Jersey Devils, because Brodeur is going to be there for 12 more years.
Right.
So if you're asking, and I get the whole, we don't want to go to Milwaukee, although I would have said, shut up and work and play, and whatever happens, let your agent take care of that. Like, you don't have to be so public about it. But it makes sense of saying, I want an opportunity somewhere else, because Eustace Soros is going to be the guy for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And even if he's not the guy for all seven, he's going to be the guy for at least 5 years, mm-hmm. which by that point, Askarov is going to be 27. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be like, oh, where's my opportunity? Now I've the window's closed, the door's closed. So it makes sense.
So what is his opportunity this year, given that they have two netminders on expiring contracts in Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood? How many games will Askarov play at the NHL level this year?
So, funny enough, I think Askarov starts in the AHL with Barracuda.
Doesn't have to switch cities. Arguably, some would say it's nicer than Milwaukee, but I'm a big Milwaukee guy, so whatever.
It is, you know, it's not the city or the location, it's the league, right? But the difference is, Askarov going to Milwaukee in the AHL because Saros and Wedgwood are in Nashville, mm-hmm. are a completely different situation than starting in San Jose with the Barracuda and having Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood. You know, most teams, 98% of teams use at least three goalies in the season.
Correct.
Potentially even four. Mm-hmm. And neither of those two guys are signed past this year. Mm-hmm. So he has that door open in a year from now. Now, this is where Askarov, you shut up and you work. You show up to camp. And if you're being sent down to the AHL, you keep your nose down and you keep working, because you're going to get called up. Mm-hmm. You're going to get an audition. And that may open the door for next year, which that door wasn't open in Nashville because of UC Soros. Now, it's a little bit the same way with Devin Levi here.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? You have Reimer and you have Luukkonen.
Remember, Levi's already played 30 games in the NHL.
But the same situation presents itself, is that where you start the season, mm-hmm. has no bearing in where you're going to end the season or where you're going to be next year.
Yeah.
If you're Devin Levi. You can start in Rochester and play really well, and at some point, you know you're going to get NHL games. And at some point, the Sabres, depending on where they are in the standings, they may say, like they did with Ryan Miller, and many times, like, I was playing, we were in a playoff battle. If I needed a night off, Lindy would say, we're calling the kid up. Mm-hmm. He's playing a game, because they didn't trust Bob Esenza or they didn't trust Mika Noronen, and they just wanted to go that way. Mm-hmm. That's, for me, is the situation that presents itself here in Buffalo. And it's the same situation that presents itself in San Jose. And funny enough, it would be interesting to get a Sabres alumni, Ryan Miller, on the conversation, because he does work.
He's not here, is he?
No, he's not here.
Okay.
He does do work with the San Jose Sharks and Mike Greer.
I wonder if
that was a Miller, Evgeny Nabokov, like, hey, we need that guy kind of a nudge, nudge.
How could it not be?
Well,
right?
They would have to. Mike Greer's not making that move on his own, saying, hey, Millsy, we just traded for Askarov. No, there's that conversation happening before that.
Okay, well, let me rephrase the question. Who plays more games in the NHL this year, Devin Levi or Yaroslav Askarov?
Oh, I'm sitting on the fence and it hurts right now, because I think
you're on an OB steak.
And, yes, exactly. The white steak. I'm like, you know, flirting with disaster here, but let's just put it that way. I think both of them play under 20 games.
Marty says, under 20 for Levi and Askarov.
Not together, like.
No, I know.
I think Askarov could play 20, and, you know, you still have 35 for Vanacek or Blackwood and 25 for the other guy. There's, you know, there's a even split 35, 30, 20 or whatnot.
Man, like, as much as we try to keep things light here and we're just, you know, throwing out questions like this, I really do think it's fascinating, and I really would love to know, canvas a whole bunch of hockey executives who have been involved in draft process, and now, whether it's cap management or whatever, right? Like, and have their true opinions as to what they think of Levi's path, mm-hmm. in Buffalo and games played, and Askarov's immediate path here. Like, I'm obviously respectful and understanding of everything you're saying here. I just, it's the one thing with Askarov and the whole not going to Milwaukee thing was like, and you say, like, just put your nose down and grind it out. There are so many injuries, and, like, whether it, you know, hopefully not, but like if it was Saros or if it was Wedgwood, like all of a sudden the door is wide open. And like, let's be real here about the history of Vanacek and Blackwood.
But also Nashville would have been a better team to play NHL games than San Jose.
You would think.
Much better.
Yes. So, like, I know Devin Cooley enjoyed his first ever taste of the NHL last year, but when this team was blowing four-goal leads,
he was doing much better. Oh, Sabres Live just went down behind us. We just got a little bit of a win. That's all right. We'll get it at the commercial, guys. Don't worry about it. Here's the thing. Devin Cooley did much better in his Rochester Americans pads, and then when he got his San Jose stuff, it kind of just...
What colors are you going to wear in Calgary?
I don't know, but this is like, we go back to golf. It's like if you go to the store and you try out that driver, right? And then they say, hey, go take it out for like 3-4 holes and let's see what happens. And it looks good. And then you buy it, and the very next round, it's crap. It's like your ball's going everywhere. It's the same thing. Like, you know, Devin Cooley was probably excited to be in the NHL, get colors, right? The teal and the black and the white.
He was Los Gatos, California. He was the first. Yeah, like it was historic that
he really
made the
Sharks. In his first couple of games, and then it just San Jose kind of left him out to dry. But you know what? 20 games, though. Think about it, Duffer. 20 games used to be what you had penciled in for a backup goaltender, not a number three, a backup goaltender.
Well, yeah, correct. And that, but the problem is we keep talking. I shouldn't say it's a problem. The reality is we keep talking about threes, right? Three goalies here, three goalies there, three, like Detroit, for instance. I mentioned the first rounders of 2021, Wallstedt and Sebastian Kosa. Well, Kosa hasn't played in the NHL yet, but he had a pretty good year in the AHL.
Like
he went 20
right.
He went 22-9-9. He got in 9 more playoff games. Went 5-4. He got a lot of great experience last year. But how muddy is the path in front of him? Like
for the 1 year, it's very muddy because it is Ville Husso, it is Jack Campbell, it is Cam Talbot, it's Alex Lyon.
Yeah.
But after that, it opens up.
Right.
That's what, as a prospect, you want to see. You want to see the long game, right? When does it open up? And Sebastian Kosa, he's not, you know, fallen off of the depth chart. He's just doing exactly what he needs to do at the American League. So that's, to me, is interesting. But again, we talked about the alumni. I mean, Lindy Ruff is here today, and, you know, everybody's excited, the alumni, to see him back as the coach. But, you know, I even discussed with some fans over the last, you know, bit being in the public, like, oh, what's the first two games in Prague going to be like? Is it, we talked about it on the show, is it going to be two games for Luukkonen? Is it going to be you split Luukkonen somebody else, but then after that you come home and the schedule's pretty good once you come home to say, hey, maybe Luukkonen plays the first seven of the first eight.
Yeah.
And to get going, because that's something Lindy always did. He did it with me as a starter. He did it with Miller as a starter. I mean, with Dom, you just let him play as many games as he wanted. So that's kind of the set the tone to the season that usually Lindy Ruff wants to do. And talking with Don Edwards and Darren Pupa, we're mentioning, do you remember having three goalies regularly being used? And they're like, absolutely not. You played every day. You practice every day. But that, the game has changed now, completely changed.
Well, I mean, especially in Edwards' case, it was, you know, him and Sauvé.
And
it really was a platoon system that led to Buffalo's first ever Vezina Trophy win with that tandem. And it was always a competition between those two. And it was hard to tell from 1 year to the next, sometimes, you know, who was likely to get more games. And then sometimes, you know, case of Bob, you know, he had a great playoff year the 1 year against Montreal, and it was but it's always fascinating because you've lived it, and I know sometimes I ask you about Ryan, and then, you know, you're like, well, I wasn't actually with Ryan like for as long as people think, you know. There were years that you spent in the organization, but it wasn't necessarily as, you know, a duo.
It felt like Ryan was there longer because it was the year before the lockout where he came up, and then there was a lockout year, and then there was the year after the lockout, and then until the trade deadline. So it feels like it was 4 years, but really it was only a year and a half, right? That's what it was.
But you stepped in when he was unavailable, and it was a career-changing path for you because you showed the league the success that you could have, and that's, you know, what led you to being a number one in the next stop, right? Like, so
having that conversation with Poops this morning, it was kind of funny because I'm like, tell everybody your first NHL, first game with Buffalo.
He doesn't have to because Dykstra's here, and Dykstra tells everybody about Poops' first game.
And then, you know, we're talking about the 2-0 shutout. Yep. It goes Gretzky had like four breakaways or whatever. And I love the story about how he became all universe because the rivalry between Pupa and Barrasso, well, you know, you could tell it was there. Yep. Like they both wanted to play. Poop said they lost 7-3 in Calgary the night before, whatever. They played in Edmonton. He won 2-0. And he didn't even play the game in Vancouver. And he didn't play for five more games because Barrasso was the guy. And Barrasso was that headstrong guy that was like, I want to play, I want to play. Especially if his partner had pitched a shutout against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. I always felt like, you know, with Don Edwards and Bob Sauvé that there was that type of competition as well. I would let them you know, talk about just how intense it may have been. They certainly weren't wearing the artwork and the letters on their mask, like the battle between Barrasso and Pupa with the AW and AU. Yeah. No, those two stuck to the old, I think, Jofa helmets for the most part, and they looked maybe CCM for Don.
Barrasso called himself All World.
Yeah.
Pupa said he didn't call himself All Universe. The guys, because of Barrasso, started calling Pupa All Universe, so that's the difference there.
Well, it's almost inevitable that we land on goaltending at some point in time in our conversation daily here on Sabres Live, but this time for good reason, because I didn't get to quiz you on Askarov last week on the deal that was San Jose and Nashville. Askarov, Nolan Burke, a 25 third rounder going to San Jose. David Edstrom, Vegas's first round pick in 2025, which is top 10 protected, and Magnus Crona go to the Preds. So we'll see how it plays out. Askarov got a 2-year contract extension from San Jose that kicks in after next season. It's 2 years times $2 million. So again, seems to fit perfectly with where the Sharks are at, and they don't have anything on the books with their current guys next year in Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek. So we will watch with great interest, and in whether we get to see products of the 2020 class, Levi and Askarov go head to head at any point this year. That remains to be seen. We are just under a month away from the preseason beginning. And, of course, we're only a few weeks out from FanFest. It is back. It is down at the arena. And it's presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Fun hockey games, skills challenges, player appearances, autographs. It all runs in conjunction with Hockey Fest, which is the street hockey tournament, which is now run right along RJ Way.
Oh, yes.
And I think that'll be special in its own
right. It was fun last year.
That happens Saturday, September 14th at Alumni Plaza. Can't wait to see you all there. Go to Sabres.com for more information on that and come back with us. We are Sabres Live at the Sabres Alumni Golf Outing today at Niagara Falls Country Club.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Life Outdoors, we're loving it here on Sabres Live at Niagara Falls Country Club.
Our
great friend and co-worker Allie got married to Garen Outdoors at Hollamont in Ellicottville this weekend. You were at what, Kentucky State Fair, maybe?
I was at the Kentucky State Fair in Louisville, Kentucky, Thursday and Friday, and then returned for the weekend. But yes, that was a little 48 hours just to see my daughter compete. It was great, and we continue on from there.
Nice.
She's home for the week, so that's awesome.
It's amazing.
She was upset at me like 2 weeks ago.
My one daughter is home, but my other one's already off to college. So
she was upset a couple of weeks ago because she needed my password for my Apple ID, and it had to do something with another child. And she's like, oh, we know. Like, that child's your favorite. So then somehow last week I got a reset password, like, notification.
Oh,
so I changed it, and I did something funny about her.
Uh-huh.
And now she just texted me 5 minutes ago. She goes, what's your
the password?
And I gave it to her. I haven't heard anything yet. She hasn't. She goes, perfect, like, because it's more like geared towards her.
Gosh.
So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
So now she's the favorite because she's home for a week. So that's good.
Good. You got to prioritize in these situations. Make sure everyone's happy.
You know what? That's why, like, the Pegulas, you know, like, the story goes is that when they used to ask Mr. Pegula, am I your favorite child?
Yeah.
He'd always say, you're in the top five.
Top five, which is the name of the boat.
There's the name of the boat. So he'd always say, you're in the top five.
Yeah.
So But they had five kids, so that he has five kids, so that's why. So I kind of use that line with my kids a lot. I say, "Yeah, you're in the top four," and if I said top five, they'd be concerned because they'd be like, "What the heck is going on?"
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, it was an amazing weekend. Honestly, I know, like we were, you know, we weren't together a few days last week. Yeah. Was it 3 days last week? Monday, no. Thursday, and Friday.
Monday we were in Rochester. So that was good. And then it was just Thursday and Friday last week that I missed out.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I want to, you know, we mentioned the alumni that are here and players and coaches that are here. But what a great thing to see the coach, Ted Nolan, here and how good he looks. He went through some, obviously, a cancer battle and everything. And I'm not sure where it is right now, but he looks fantastic today showing up and playing golf with some you know, great guests out there. So it was awesome to see Ted Nolan here and you know, looking so good.
Yeah, it was actually probably the most surprising face when I walked in, because I just hadn't seen him in so long, and really, really terrific to see him. Obviously, we were talking about goaltenders earlier, and we're still taking your input on social at Sabres Live, just as to how you would project now, based on, you know, we were drawing influence off of the 2020 draft class. Levi was picked late in that draft.
Yes.
Yaroslav Askarov went in the first round. He was just traded from Nashville to San Jose. Will he be able to crack through against the incumbents, Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek?
Mm-hmm.
Levi, far more NHL experience than Askarov at this point. Will he be able to come through camp as the number two, pushing James Reimer to number three status behind, presumably, in everyone's estimation, Ukko Pekka Luukkonen getting the majority of games? But would love to get your input on that, so keep them coming. Obviously, the first response from Matt we got was UPL 55, Reimer 20, Levi 7.
This is interesting because the other response we got from Jay Perham is 50 UPL, which is the same thing, 50-55. That's a steady workload, number one guy. But he has Levi 25 and Reimer 7. So then, you know, Matt is thinking Reimer to 20 and Levi just over 10. So that's where I think the biggest question mark is.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to not look too far ahead. I think this start of the year for Ukko Pekka Luukkonen is about as important as any season that he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you have Reimer and Levi that are waiting for their opportunity to play. You know that you have a coach and a group of players and a front office and a general manager that doesn't want to be looking after 10 games and say we're 3-5-2. That can't happen.
Right.
You want to be 6-2-2. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where you want to be and really set the tone. And that starts with your number one goaltender. And I've been there before. And I know that a start of the year, October and November, they do the, you know, the most of the work for the rest of the year. When you feel comfortable early on, everything is going to go well for the rest of the season. It's very rare that it drops off unless there's injuries, like Aiden Hill last year had a fantastic start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt. Second half wasn't as great. But if you're staying healthy, usually the start just carries on through the end.
Team most likely to carry three goaltenders at the start of the year, Buffalo or San Jose?
I'm thinking the San Jose Sharks.
Hmm.
Just because, you know, they now make a pitch for Askarov and, you know, maybe they say, hey, let's give him a game or two early on and let's work. You know, the cap situation is not really in, you know, jeopardy of saying, like, we can't carry, a, you know, 23 guys. But I think Buffalo also did it last year. Buffalo did it with, you know, obviously, you know, Levi being there for a little bit. And, you know, you had Comrie and Luukkonen, and it was not easy. And I think the players themselves would tell you that wasn't easy. The goalies themselves would tell you that wasn't easy. Lindy Ruff has done it a few times in his career where he had three goalies, and he would tell you that's not easy.
He had it in the playoffs in the year they beat the Rangers.
Yes.
Pretty much, right?
Basically, because it was Vitek Vanacek, it was
Akira Schmid,
yeah. And so I'm
assuming Dawes. I thought Dawes was involved in there too at some point, trying to smooth things over. But.
Yeah, but you look at the goalies that Lindy has had to deal with in New Jersey from Jonathan Bernier on. Like, there's been a ton of goalies there, and he wants stability in that. So I would assume that the Sabres are not interested in starting with three, even if it makes Reimer unhappy or it makes Levi unhappy. Like, you can't go into the season thinking that having three goalies is, and there's too many players that are fighting for roster spots on the defense, on forward, to say that we're going to take a roster spot away from a forward or a defenseman for having a third goalie. We've already talked about it. Right now, you could say there's eight defensemen that are, you know, penciled in to be your top eight. Who do you make it? Who do you cut? Who do you send to Rochester if you're going to keep seven defensemen, just one extra? Look at the forward group. We haven't, you know, there's not a lot of room there either. So I really don't see the Sabres carrying three goalies.
I had blurred the crease lines in New Jersey a couple of years ago. In the regular season that year, Vanacek, Blackwood, and Schmid were playing.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
Then in the playoffs, it was just Schmid and Vanacek. Vanacek went 1-3. Schmid went 4-4. So
Schmid did have the shutout streak against the Rangers.
Yeah,
and it was good.
But. So, anything else Sabres related right now? Because like you're seeing alumni guys here today. You're obviously still down at Lecom Harbor Center a fair amount, so you run into guys that are in their off-season conditioning and let's just say in the ramp up to camp, which is next month. Obviously, the rookies go first, and you've got the Prospects Challenge in mid-September, and then the main camp after that. But any combination of whether you talk to Lindy or talk to people that have talked to Lindy and or players that you've been seeing down at Lecom Harbor Center, what other nuggets might you be able to pass
along? There's a different vibe. I think last year everybody was very excited, right? Oh, this is going to be great. We had all the and guys that signed their contracts, but everybody had that, you know, I know it's not bad to be smiling. It's not bad to be enjoying yourself, but when I was at Lecom Harbor Center last week and I saw some of the Sabres on the ice, there was definitely a work mentality in August, right? Usually it's a little bit looser. No, that was high pace. There was, you know, you could see the sweat really pouring on and there was hard work. And that's just part of their day because then there's the gym side of it. There's even more, right? So the way, and we joked about it this morning a little bit, the way we used to get ready for training camp is play basically pick up hockey, put the puck at center ice, 5-on-5, and let's go.
Yeah.
This is not the way it is anymore. Like if you were to show up to one of those practice and skate where the, you know, the regulars are starting to filter into the city now, it's a full-on skate. It's 45 minutes to an hour of full-on skate practice, a lot of movement, a lot of skills piece to it. The goalies, unfortunately, are just shooter-tooter because they see a ton of pucks, and then they do their own work on their own. But I feel like the vibe is different. It's positive, but it's a positive work mentality as opposed to, hey, you know, this is going to be a fun year, but it didn't turn out to be like that.
Chris chimes in at Sabres Live, UPL 40 games, Reimer 30, Levi 12. We had Tony say that the best for Levi's development, in his opinion, 62-20, with Levi getting 55-60 in Rochester.
So basically 62 UPL, 20 Reimer, and Levi getting 55-60 in Rochester.
Yeah.
Which, look, if Levi gets 60 in Rochester...
I don't think anybody gets 60 in the AHL.
It's
so
very
hard. That's not normal. I think anytime you get close to 40, that's considered pretty much a full season.
Plus, you
in
know
the
that
AHL
he's going
now.
To get called up. So he's going to miss a ton of games in Rochester because there's going to be a need for a third guy. But, you know, playing 2 out of 3 in the American League, when you're there, that's probably the role for Levi moving forward. So if he was there for 60 games total, he'd play 40. I think that'd be a good number. Pushing to 55-60 is a lot in an American League season. But if the Sabres remain healthy, if Luukkonen is healthy all year and Reimer's healthy all year, which we've seen that happen, maybe Levi is in Rochester all season and gets to play 55 or 60 games.
For example, the much-talked-about Askarov played 44 in the AHL last year and 48 in the AHL the year before, and the goaltender of the year very recently in the American Hockey League, Dustin Wolf, in the Calgary system, you know, he has been playing and playing and playing to try to earn this opportunity with the Flames. He, with the Wranglers, played in 36 last year because that's because he finally got called up to the NHL. And in the years prior, played 55 with the Wranglers in Calgary. And then previously when they were in Stockton, he played 47. So you can see why.
He was goalie of the year playing just 50 or 55
games. That's just a number to keep in mind. Like
Jesper Wallstedt played 45 last year.
Yeah, like we don't want to paint this picture like and have people unknowingly thinking, oh my gosh, you have to get to this number in the American Hockey League. No. Like it's somewhere in around the mid-40s. That's a I don't want to say a max workload, but it's a pretty high workload for that league. So
it's a very good, you know, Chris says UPL 40, Reimer 30, Levi 12. That maybe is more realistic to say, hey, listen, UPL got to play a lot in the second half last year. Mm-hmm. Playing 40 to 45 games would still be considered like a number one goaltender. Look, Boston, Swayman, Allmark, they, you know, one guy played 48, the other guy played like 38 or 44, 30.
Yeah, Allmark played 49 in his Vezina year. So,
Rob Ray just blew me a kiss, so he's probably done putting all of the auction items for afterwards, so that's good.
He's
so.
Also looked at his watch and correctly surmised that we're late in the show. And there's probably not a lot of time for Razor to come on.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll take the break. Maybe we'll surprise you with Razor when we come back here on Sabres Live from Niagara Falls Country Club. Sabres alumni event today. Great to have you along. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres start the season overseas. The home opener is October 10th. We want to see you at KeyBank Center this year. So how about choosing the path of mini packs to get yourself to the games? Five games or more you can save. Gives you great ultimate flexibility. Allows you to enjoy great value while still seeing the matchups and opponents you want the most. Sabres.com/mini packs. We're going to get the best and worst of the weekend. Okay, this is kind of best. But it's not just best. Like, there's maybe a little heaviness to this. But I want to say, like, shocker, I was at a concert last night. Frank Turner and the Sleeping Souls, Town Ballroom. Donnie, just amazing, putting on yet another great show. And Frank was quick to shout out Donnie last night on stage. Sold out, of course. But I just, I want to share some lyrics from one particular song.
Okay.
Called the Somewhere in Between. Is it so much to ask to be offered some protection, to be let go by the past, to feel some acceptance, to find somewhere to belong and something to belong to, a place where I'm allowed, anywhere but in between? I bring this up because his set list was so vast last night, and we were actually having a conversation beforehand, Valona and Kevin and I, just about, like what songs do you want to hear? And I'm like, I try not to set expectations. And last night was the best example. Like, Frank's latest album, his first single, and it's a banger. Letters? They didn't even play it. And that's the beauty of the show. And then this song, which is also on the current album, I was like, oh, I haven't listened to this album nearly enough. And so I just love the presentation of song and how it can hit you even when you're, it's completely unexpected. And it was an absolutely magical night. Frank Turner never, ever loses. And you know what the funniest thing about Frank is?
What?
He keeps track of every show. So last night was show number 2,933 of his career. And it's awesome.
What's the what's the number of shows for an artist like this? Like, you know, NHL players,
no,
1,000 games, you
no
know,
idea.
You got your silver stick, like almost 3,000 shows. That's a lot. That's a lot of grinding.
It's wild. Okay, best and worst of the weekend?
Okay, I'll go the best of the weekend. I'm going to go in a direction that after their summer break, Formula One was back this weekend, and Lando Norris, like McLaren, is coming on strong.
Constructor's title is up for grabs.
Look out, Red Bull, and I love it because Lando, Oscar Piastri, obviously, they're rolling really good, so that was a fun Grand Prix to watch. I was surprised because after the Olympics, I kind of forgot about Formula One, and then they started again, and it was on, obviously, ESPN, so I got to watch it. It was awesome. So that's my best. Worst of the weekend, I had a great weekend, so I'm going to say I don't have a worst.
Best and worst was AAA dog, bat dog, and honestly, this was one of the funnier moments. It happened with Philadelphia's single-A affiliate, and the dog, which was supposed to go out and chase the bat, retrieve it, take it back to the dugout, ignored the bat rather quickly, raced towards the mound, circled the mound, and stopped, not once, but twice.
To do his business.
To do business.
So, okay.
Like, it's bad. not when the dog stopped, and then there's this woo from the crowd, right? And then, but there's a second part. Like, it didn't all come out clean on the first attempt.
So. You need to do a couple of things, and the pitcher kept warming up, no problem.
Amazing.
And the shortstop ran out of the way, like he was getting attacked by the dog. Amazing. But I'll tell you from experience, I bought a dog 1 year, an old English sheepdog from a breeder in Colorado, and they were showing at the Westminster Art Show. You know how that happens, the dogs get nervous at the Westminster Art Show. There's a trick to make sure that your dog goes to the bathroom before, and they used to tell us all that for long road trips or whatever. I'm not going to mention what it is, but these people needed to do that to that dog and make sure that he was, you know, to the bathroom before embarking on his voyage to the bat.
Well, we appreciated the little video snippet that was provided on social, and maybe we'll have more tomorrow.
Yes.
Enjoy your day, folks.